I'm very pleased that we have here now a presentation from Stephen Lawrence Charitable Trust. As I imagine you all know, we have the Stephen Lawrence Foundation building down on Brookmill Road. Is it in Brookmill Conservation Area, Roger, or is it just next to it? Anyway, it's just outside, but it's actually one of the few iconic buildings in our broader area. It's of course a modern building. The architect was David Ajay. Pronouncing it right?
Ajay. Ajay.
And it's a very remarkable building. But not enough of us know what the trust is doing there, and what happens in that building. So what I'm going to read you what we've collected, that they're working out of their purpose-built centre in Deptford, designed by Sir David Ajay. The Trust delivers innovative and purposeful programmes aimed at transforming the lives of young people and achieving social change. Their Futures programme supports aspiring architects and young people wishing to pursue careers in the built environment. Zine Mayor McFarlane is a beneficiary of this program, and he's here to tell us more about that and about the trust, I presume. Thank you. And Steve Onions, who's, you're the publicity,
I'm Neil Onions. I work at the Stephen Lawrence Charitable Trust. So I'm the program's development manager for architecture programs. Before we kick off, Claire had seen this video online and thought it might be beneficial. Kevin McLeod gives a...
Could we stop it at the point you said?
We will. Kevin McLeod will be far more articulate in summing up what we do than I will. So we'll just play this first.
Stephen Lawrence. There's a name I think you'll all recognise. The 18-year-old who was brutally murdered in a racist attack in South London in 1993. You may think you know the full story, but over the next few minutes I want to tell you something about Stephen and about his legacy, which I think will surprise you. And this time, it's a story with a really happy outcome. Like me, Stephen had a great love of buildings, and his ambition was to be an architect, something he decided when he was only 7. This wasn't just a pipe dream. He excelled at art and maths, even getting himself a placement at a big London architecture firm. Stephen's murder put paid to those dreams. But his family wanted to do something in his memory which was positive, which would help other young people like him. So they set up the Stephen Lawrence Charitable Trust. Now the trust is there to provide help and support for young people from disadvantaged backgrounds, people who want to become professionals, like architects. Just like Stephen Lawrence, Lisa Basu had a clear idea of what she wanted to do with her life from a young age.
I was really fascinated by buildings in London that I really admired. I was adamant that I wanted to become an architect.
But given her disadvantaged background, Lisa's dream wasn't going to be easy to realise.
My family, they were really discouraging of the fact that I'd had to go on a course that was 7 years and I'll have to accumulate however much debt to finish it, because they were not in a position to actually pay for me or help me.
Lisa was determined to pursue her dream and worked hard to secure a place at university, but the particular expense of studying architecture began to take its toll.
I really struggled financially to support myself through university. I actually was in a situation where I couldn't afford materials for my models and was using pizza boxes. I was actually concentrating on the amount of debt that I had and worrying about that. It was tough, and there was moments when I thought that I needed to walk away. I found it very frustrating because I knew it would be something that I'd regret for the rest of my life if I didn't finish the course.
Lisa still had another 4 years of study before qualifying. Without anyone to support her, she didn't know how she could afford to continue. Fortunately, she heard about the trust and applied for a bursary to support the cost of study.
When I first received the bursary award, I was actually quite in shock, and I was just thinking I can make that model now that I've always wanted to make and spend the money on it and pay my rent, and I could actually be a qualified architect. That money helped me complete the course.
Lisa now supports herself and works in a big London architectural practice, and she's one of many who the Trust have helped into the profession, overcoming the barriers of their background.
I think it's really vital. We have a diverse workforce. The Trust symbolises hope for a lot of people that want to do architecture as a profession.
I've come to the Trust HQ to talk to Stephen's mother, Doreen, about what she wants to achieve in the future.
So where do you want to be then in say, 5 years' time? Because exactly. You've helped so many people into architecture.
Exactly.
And what you're saying is you'd like to be, 5 years from now, in a similar position with, I don't know...
Journalism.
Yeah, OK, and the law.
If you take architectural practice for a start, I think when we first started, they said there was less than 2% of architects who were black. And since we've started, we've done extremely well with our bursary student and how many of them are qualified and into work. And other professions, especially when it comes to diversity, they're still lagging behind.
It's a lot of work for you, isn't it? It's not just a case of just writing a cheque and saying, there you go.
It's something. There's some things you don't see as work because it's something that you want to do. So it's an enjoyment. We're here as a catalyst so that we can support them in whatever profession that they want to go into.
None of us chooses where we're born and raised, but it can have such an influence on our chances in life.
Thanks. Just before I hand over to Zine, who's a bursary recipient of the Trust, I thought I'd explain a little bit about what we do. Does everybody know the building and where we're talking about? It's quite an iconic building. David Ajay was knighted this year as Sir David Ajay. I won't get into whether people believe it's an iconic, in a good sense, of a building. We have a lot of feedback about the building. The site that it is on was an old water pump site, which actually explains part of the design, because we still have to have access to the water pumping facilities at the front, which is why the building looks a little like this from the exterior. But an overview of the Trust is, obviously, it's founded by Baroness Lawrence. We became a registered charity in 2004. We started primarily with financial awards, bursaries to help students, like you just heard Lisa talking about. We're quite a small charity. There are 8 of us working in that huge building. Full-time, so we're certainly punching above our weight, and we have a board of trustees like most charities. The first bursaries that were awarded, one was in Jamaica, which is where Stephen's buried. One was in South Africa as a way of saying thank you to Nelson Mandela, who brought a lot of public attention to the case at the time, and one in the UK. Over the years, Doreen and her team worked hard to establish the building, which you can see here on the right. And we're actually in a really exciting phase, which Zine will talk about toward the end of the presentation, around the purpose and the use of that building. So currently, there are church groups that access the building every weekend. We have a youth organisation who's also within the building, an IT company. But we want it to be much more of a central hub for the community and for those within the built environment, but I won't take away all that. And we had the royal approval. There was a royal visit of the centre also, just before I started, 2014. To date, we've awarded 125 bursaries. These are the students who had the bursary last year. We were able to award 10 bursaries with support from industry. So architecture practices, developers donate to the Trust in order for us to award bursarial support. But we've gone beyond bursaries now. Hearing everybody talk around community, even conservation area spaces for community to come together, we believe that means everybody within that community should have the right to take part in any form, whether it's landscape architecture right the way through to architecture itself, in designing that community. So a lot of the feedback we have from young people that we work with is when you're developing an area, developing their community, if they don't have a say and they don't feel a part of it and they're then displaced from that community, then what can they do to be involved in that community? So we've started a program called the Building Futures Program, which is funded by Trust for London. It's in its second year at the moment. We award bursaries. We have mentors. We have currently 42 students across London all being mentored in practices. Work experience right from prospective students, inspiring them into the profession, all the way through to Part 3 students who are looking for paid placements. And affordable housing. We actually work with a housing provider in Old Street called High Elm, who help house students who, as you know, those architects in the room, it's a 7-year journey, it's an expensive journey. We help them at the point that they're doing their first year out placement. before I just hand over to you and your work.
Thanks for that, Neil. That's a bit loud. My name's Ian May McFarlane. Basically, I heard about the trust probably about 7 years ago now. I applied for my part one to get a bursary, and I didn't get it, sadly. But I did get my part three bursary. This is actually some of my part two work as a student. Essentially, I just wanted to point out as well that the trust don't just, as Neil was saying, support students financially, but also through the kind of learning process along that 7 years and a sense of feeling mentored. A bit about me, about my journey so far. So I'm studying for my part three. I've worked in various places. I've worked in Shanghai, I'm in China. I've worked in Mayfair, but probably the most renowned practice I've worked at is Foster and Partners, who've done buildings such as the Gherkin and the Millennium Bridge. The project that I worked on personally was the Bloomberg HQ in Bank. And I basically learned a lot from that experience. It kind of led me to my own entrepreneurial adventure, which I'll kind of get onto in a second. Can't really see it. Some of my work, which I'll skim through, which kind of moves me on to my next point. After all that experience I've gained, I basically started my own small business, and I work part-time with a company called Shared Architecture. Essentially, it kind of moves me on to the point quite nicely about what the Stephen Lawrence Trust is doing at the moment. It does a great job with supporting part one, part two, part three students. But there's obviously the stage after you finish your educational process. And, you know, they've quite caringly gone through a process of designing a hub which the alumni members have been involved in. Because essentially it will be a hub where students after part three who want to have their own studios can have like a workspace. I think it's amazing. The hub is currently in collaboration with Gensler. We've done various kind of presentations with the trust to get the sense of alumni members' ideas into the project. One last thing about the hub itself. It really is kind of a sense of trying to connect the community. So throughout a lot of the presentations today, it's been about kind of domestic projects, whereas this project specifically is really to do with like a heart of the area and a community space which helps people like me, which I can really kind of relate to right now, trying to start my own business, but also people at the start of their journey who kind of need a bit of inspiration to see someone later on in the stages. So it's a hub that kind of just creates a connectivity more than anything from what I take away from it. And I think that's pretty much about it.
Thank you very much.